This program does not create an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any caller or listener. Please remember that we can only give general information, and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns. If you are in need of specific legal advice or are looking for an attorney, please do not hesitate to give Moss and Barnett a call at 612-877-5000.
This is WCCO's Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
Thanks so much for joining us. Final Saturday in July. Hard to believe. Brian Grogan is our host in studio. Tom Schroer is away today. Brian, good to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you, Steve.
Yeah, we've got a great show lined up today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the ABCs of bankruptcy, and we have with us via phone today my partner at Moss & Barnett, Jim Rubenstein. He is a certified bankruptcy specialist. He has a nationwide practice representing secured and unsecured creditors, business owners and buyers, landlords, debtors, and trustees. Jim's a super lawyer, and he's been named one of the best lawyers in America in 2008. Jim, you with us out there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Brian. Hi, Steve.
How are you, Jim?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Well, Jim,
How are you?
We're doing just great here. We were just talking before the show, you know, the economy has kind of gone south the last couple of years, and it seems like every day we read in the newspaper about another business entering bankruptcy or having financial trouble. You know, before we dig into this topic, I thought maybe you could start us off with, if I own a small business and I've got some financial struggles, what are some of the different options that I can consider with respect to bankruptcy that might be available to me?
Well, Brian, usually when a business owner is in that situation, she or he has to think about first the two options. Is it time to close the business? Do we have to try something else now? Or is there some way to perhaps reorganize the business, try to restructure obligations, and maybe just start a new business plan and continue going and try to turn things around? And so the options you look at sort of are driven by what your approach is there. And there are several that are available. Most businesses that go out of business don't use a court, don't use a lawyer. They simply close the business and distribute available assets to the creditors, and the people move on. If it's a more complicated situation, if there are a lot of issues that need to be resolved, sometimes a business resorts to Chapter 7 under the Bankruptcy Code, which is a liquidation. And that's where a company files a bankruptcy petition. A trustee is appointed whose main job is to basically find assets and liquidate the assets and pay the creditors off from the remains of the business. On the cases we mostly hear about in the news and the ones that really have more complexity to them are those where the company is trying a new business plan or has gone through a rough patch and feels they can come out of it, trying to reorganize and get back on a firm footing. Again, there's a out-of-court possibility where if you have just a few problems, a few creditors who know you, perhaps you can present them with an informal plan and work something out. But as a last resort in that situation, a business can file what they call a Chapter 11, a reorganization plan, where the whole business comes under the supervision of the court. Creditors have a right to be heard, and the two goals are either to sell the business as a going concern or to find a reorganization which all your creditors would be bound by, and try to come out of Chapter 11 and continue as an ongoing business. We read a lot about Sun Country Airlines, Northwest Airlines a few years ago. That was their situation, a Chapter 11. And those are the basic options.
Sure. You know, as you're talking, it strikes me that some folks were familiar with the numbers Chapter 11, Chapter 7, but you're using phrases creditor, debtor, trustee, just so we make sure everybody's on the same page. Explain to us
Sure.
the difference between a debtor and a creditor.
Well, a debtor is the business that's in trouble, the one that's indebted, owes money to people. A creditor is the one, it's a bank, it could be a vendor who's supplied materials, it could be employees. Those are the people to whom the business owes money. And a trustee is an individual appointed by the court who is neutral and whose job it is to oversee usually a liquidation. Although sometimes you can find a trustee appointed in a Chapter 11 where there's the owners have been accused of some kind of misconduct or mismanagement of the business.
Jim, I was wondering, people think, why can't businesses just shut their doors? And I, in some ways, answered my own question, because there are a lot of examples. There are a lot of big companies and smaller companies that have been able to reorganize and are still going concerns. A number of airlines have gone through Chapter 11 and come out on the other side and are profitable businesses. So it is important that businesses make the right decision before they just flat out shut the door.
I think you're right. I think I like to think of Chapter 11, the basic concept of it, as kind of like an old movie. I don't know if you or the listeners remember the Blazing Saddles movie from a generation or two ago now. It's a Mel Brooks comedy where basically they satirize everything. And there's one famous scene where the new sheriff is riding into town. There's a town called Red Rock that hasn't been able to keep a sheriff. He keeps getting killed. And this particular sheriff is African-American, and the townspeople don't know it. And they're very excited that they're going to get a new sheriff. And there's the town square is full of people dressed in their best. The band is playing. Women and children all to greet the sheriff. And the sheriff is riding across the prairie, slowly approaching the town. And as more and more people realize that he's an African-American, they become more fearful. The women and children hide. The men get their guns out. And so finally, by the time Cleavon Little, who plays the sheriff, is in the center of town, there's just a few men with their guns trained on him. And they're the creditors. And if you could imagine this scenario. And then the debtor is the sheriff. And he thinks quickly. He jumps off his horse. He pulls his own gun out of his holster, points it at his own head, and he says, "Back off or the sheriff gets it." The point there is that when you're in Chapter 11, you're on the verge, perhaps, of going out of business and just packing it up and going home. But do your creditors really want that? Do they instead want you to make a go of it so you could have a better chance of paying them back? And part of the whole dynamic of a Chapter 11 is the give and take between the people who are owed money and the company that owes money, in how will they benefit if the company can survive and reorganize and succeed, as opposed to how they might fare if the company just goes out of business.
Well, you know.
And, go ahead.
Jim, there's an awful lot to get to, and there's a lot of questions I have. I think when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to kind of talk about some of the pitfalls that people fall into before they actually go and talk to an expert like yourself about some of their options, some of the mistakes people make going in that can actually make the situation far worse than it might be.
All right. It is the ABCs of business bankruptcy. Jim Rubenstein joining us on the line. Brian Grogan, our host in studio. By all means, if you have a question, feel free to call the program today. 651-989-9226. Toll free. 1-866-989-9226. You can text our studio anytime. 81807, that's 81807, powered by Home Service Plus, an offering of Center Point Energy. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
News Radio 830 WCCO, streaming online right now at WCCORadio.com.
Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Each and every Saturday at noon, Brian Grogan is our host today. Tom Schroyer is away. The ABC is a business bankruptcy in the spotlight today. Jim Rubenstein joining us on the phone. And before the break, we talked or teased at an important component of all this. If your business is in trouble, there are some very important do's and don'ts.
Absolutely. You know, there's some mistakes people make when they get into some financial trouble, and you can actually exasperate the situation quite a bit, both professionally and personally, if you start to commingle some of those funds. Jim, maybe tell us, what are some of the common things you see in your practice, mistakes people make before they ever visit with an attorney?
Well, think one of the ones I see most often, and it's sometimes the most difficult to deal with, is that a company has failed to pay its withholding taxes. That is, when we get our paycheck, certain amount of taxes withheld from our check to go to the state and federal government, and the employer's responsibility is to pay that over to the federal government. Occasionally, you see businesses that have very low on cash flow and try to think, I'm sure, borrow that cash, thinking they can pay it back, and it builds up and it builds up. Another example is the sales taxes collected at retail from the retailer. Those are called trust fund taxes. And often you see that an employer has not paid them, used the money to finance the business in other ways. The bankruptcy laws and the tax laws take a very dim view of people who are in control of businesses who let this happen or it happens on their watch. Not only are the amounts due the liability of the company, they can be assessed as a liability of the individuals who own or were otherwise in charge of the company, and those assessments are not dischargeable in bankruptcy, so they will stay with the person a long, long time unless they can find a way to pay it.
What about people who try to, you have some problems with your small business, so you figure the only source of revenue I have is maybe my 401k, or maybe I'll try to take a second out on my house and dump that into the business. Does that potentially backfire on them if they're in a, in a financial straits with their company?
It definitely will backfire on them if the business doesn't turn around. There's nothing wrong with doing it. It can be expensive if you don't, for example, to withdraw from your 401k if you're not old enough to take it in without penalty and you pay taxes on it. But the problem there is once that's spent or once you've used up the equity in your house, it's gone. And it's very hard to build back. And if you were to find yourself in a situation where there are judgments against you, generally speaking, the equity in your home up to a certain level, $300,000 in Minnesota, and the amounts in your 401k are exempt, and you could use those to live on if all else fails. But once that's been put in the business, it loses its exempt status, and it's difficult to get back. So your safety net or your nest egg is gone.
Yeah, Jim, I wanted to jump in. When someone gets a sense that they're in trouble, where cash flow starts to become a problem, is that the point? I mean, when should a small business owner say, you know what, I should talk to someone who can help me sort all of this out? I mean, what's maybe that first indicator?
I think the first indicator is where you are finding that you can make payments, you're promising payments, and you're unable to keep your promises. Those are certainly the first indication. Some less subtle things are, of course, that the bank threatens to foreclose or your vendors start to sue. But and certainly, if you are really contemplating, as we talked about, taking money out of your 401k or taking out a home equity line to put into the business, that would be a really good time to talk to a business consultant or a lawyer about, again, a sort of a third-party view, an independent view of how the business is doing, where it's going, what its prospects are.
You know, Jim, I've not been through this, don't own a small business, but, what comes to mind for me is when you're going to pick out that attorney, and then how do you prepare for that meeting? What do you bring? How do you go through all that? And maybe that's a topic we can pick up after the break, because I bet you a lot of folks are wondering exactly how painful that first meeting might be.
All right, that'll be in a moment. Jim Rubenstein joining us on the program. The ABC's Business Bankruptcy in the Spotlight today in Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Brian Grogan is our host. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with more. Don't forget, your phone call is always welcome. 651-989-9226, toll-free. 1-866-989-9226. Here on News Radio, 830-WCCO.
from the Buick Studios in downtown Minneapolis. This is 830 WCCO.
Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law, each and every Saturday, noon to 1, presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. Jim Rubenstein joining us on the phone today. The ABC's Business Bankruptcy. Our host is Brian Grogan. And Brian, before the break, we talked about if you feel like your business is in trouble and it's time to talk to someone, that's the next step. And how do people go about it?
Right. I suppose the first step is to pick a good attorney. We have one of those on the phone with us, with Jim. He's a certified bankruptcy specialist. But once you make that choice, what seems to me to be tricky, if I were in those shoes, it's a little bit like going to confession. You've got to go in and lay out your whole financial history on the table and then explain why your business is failing. That's got to be tough, Jim, for folks when they come in. What would you recommend they do as, you know, when they're preparing for this kind of first meeting?
Well, by the way, thanks, Brian. What I think they should do is, certainly if they've chosen a lawyer, they should find out if the lawyer has anything specific they want to bring. But they ought to be prepared to discuss their whole financial situation and not to worry too much about whether they have every record or every detail that the lawyer might want or has asked for. I remember about 25 years ago, I was asked to take over a Chapter 11 case that had already been filed. And I asked the owners of the business to bring me their financial record. And they came to my office, and the only thing they had was a handwritten, 1.5 pages of paper handwritten, which had the name of their customer and the amount the customer owed on a list. There were no expense reports. There were no tax returns. But a lawyer can work with what is available to him or her. But I think the thing to keep in mind, and this is one of my partner's analogies, is a bankruptcy case, in a bankruptcy case, all your assets, that is everything you own, and all your liabilities, which is everything that you owe to anybody, are put in a box. And then once you file a bankruptcy, the bankruptcy law, and if there is a trustee appointed, the trustee or the court, they get to look at everything that's in the box and evaluate it and decide with you, and you help decide what assets can do what, go where, which liabilities fit in what categories. So you have to think broadly about, as you say, disclosing everything. A lot of people think that you can file on one or two debts, or just put a few assets into a bankruptcy. But the rule is that each entity, I'll tell you what I mean by an entity in a minute, has to disclose all of its assets and all of its liabilities as a condition of getting bankruptcy relief.
Let me ask you, Jim, when you say that part of it, do you ever find that folks maybe embarrassed by the performance of their company, you know, this is maybe their life's work, that they might start telling half-truths, or worse yet, they might engage in some kind of fraudulent activity? We certainly read about that in the paper. Is that common when you find yourself in this situation?
Frankly, in my experience, it's not common. I've found that most people who come to see a bankruptcy lawyer want to pay their debts. They're forthcoming, at least with their lawyer, about the aspects of the business that's got them in trouble. If they're not, and they continue not to be forthcoming, and they are hiding or lying, they usually don't stick. That lawyer doesn't stick with them very long.
All right. Well, so going back to your big box analogy, we've dumped in everything into the box, and then how does it get decided who gets what in terms of whatever value is left in the business?
Well, let's talk about a Chapter 11, which is that reorganization of the business I talked about, where you're trying to come out of it and continue in business.
Mm-hmm.
There are often creditors who have collateral, and that is, you've pledged some assets of the business, say, the accounts receivable or the equipment, or the real estate, if it's a real estate involved business, to a bank or some other lender. And so they have a certain set of rights in Chapter 11 that differ from, say, the paperclip vendor or the landlord, who are owed money, but they haven't necessarily received any pledge of collateral to it. And those are still, as another category of what I'd call favored or priority creditors, such as employees, who the code says, well, they have a priority in getting their wages paid, at least within certain limits. We don't want them to suffer, so they get paid first. Then the code sets out these categories, and there are rules about how you communicate with each set, what can and be can't done realistically. And, for example, you may be able to have a bank take lower payments over a longer period of time to improve your cash flow. And in a Chapter 11, the creditors, like the vendors who are not secured, you could propose a plan to them to pay, say, all varies depending on the situation, let's call it 50 cents for every dollar you owe them. And if the creditors are persuaded as a body, they get to vote on that proposal. And if they're persuaded that that's a better outcome for them than letting the company shut down and be liquidated, they think it's being proposed in good faith, they may vote for that plan. Well, one side benefit is if the company can continue, they may get 50 cents on the dollar on their old debt, but they'll have the customer still in business who will pay them for future business.
Sure.
Well, so that's all those dynamics kind of go to work.
Maybe let's shift gears for a second and talk about the perspective of the creditor who has a long-term client, but there certainly might be signs that trouble's on the horizon and payments might not have been, you know, if they were 30-day pays, now they're starting to push to 60 days or 90 days, and it feels like something might be trouble. So what are the warning signs that you could maybe lay out for us for those creditors that want to avoid finding themselves, you know, in a bankruptcy proceeding fighting for 50 cents on the dollar instead of getting a dollar for every dollar they put out?
Well, that's a good question, Brian, and I think the example you gave is one of the clearest and earliest indicators. A formerly reliable customer is slowing down payments. They've gone from 30 to 45 to 60 days. You can't get a good explanation of what the problem is. They make promises to pay that they don't keep. And that's certainly a good sign. And, you know, many businesses now have resources available, who extend credit, have resources available to them to check on the credit history and the credit worthiness of this company and how that's changed, and they may want to do that. But certainly non-payment. Some others are supposing you receive a unusually large order for some raw material, for example, from a customer you're familiar with. That may be a sign that they're sort of stocking up and planning to file, but they want to have raw materials in hand that they can then continue to use.
So what would seem like really good news, you get that phone call, they just tripled their order, seems like time to crack a bottle of champagne, but in fact, that could be a sign of trouble. You might not be getting paid for that large order.
Right. It kind of goes back to the old adage, you know your customer. You know, sometimes it's a great thing. Maybe the customer is expanding, but it's something to look into.
So if that were to occur, if you see some of these warning signs, what are you supposed to do? So I've recognized that my client or my customer might not be able to pay, might be slow pay. Do I go to see an attorney like yourself for some advice about how to deal with it, or what step should I take?
Well, we always like to recommend that people talk to attorneys early and often. But there are some remedies. That, you know, you can. There's nothing wrong with continuing to press for payment, making calls, and trying to get paid. If worst comes to worst, you may need to start a lawsuit, try to get a judgment. Certainly, the pressure that a business owner feels is appropriate can be brought to bear. That's certainly one thing to do. And, you know, there's a concept in bankruptcy called a preference, where if a creditor gets paid on the eve of bankruptcy more than it I would just use the word deserved, at least under the way the bankruptcy code looks at it, that can be recovered. But and some creditors come to me and say, well, if I take this payment or if I press for payment and get paid, it might be a preference. My advice is go ahead, get the money.
Right.
They may never file bankruptcy. It may be too far down the road for them to recover it. It's better to go ahead, continue to collect aggressively, and come what may, deal with that down the line.
Sure.
So long, of course, you're prudent and legal in your efforts, what you're doing.
Sure. Well, that's a topic, you know, the idea of granting a preference. Certainly been reading a lot about that in the Denny Hecker case and some of these other cases that we see in the paper every other day. But when we come back, maybe let's talk a little bit about how you emerge from bankruptcy. You know, what are some of the things the court may do, and then what happens after that? Is it still a scarlet letter to go through bankruptcy, or can you emerge on the other side and as Steve mentioned earlier, be a successful company?
All right, we have more on the way. Jim Rubenstein is joining us on the program. The ABCs of Business Bankruptcy. Brian Grogan is our host. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, each and every Saturday at noon here on News Radio, 830-WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. To youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Did you know Moss & Barnett has occupied its present offices on the 47th through 50th floors of the Wells Fargo Center since it was first built in 1989?
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss & Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO. The news you depend on from the WCCO news team is available right now at WCCORadio.com.
Welcome back one more time. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Brian Grogan is our host. Tom Schroyer is away. By the way, moss-barnett.com is the website. Jim Rubenstein joining us on the program, the ABCs of Business Bankruptcy. We've only got a few minutes left in the program today. It's gone quick.
Yeah, Jim, you know, when we left the conversation a moment ago, we were kind of talking about bankruptcy kind of having a stigma to it. You know, if you file bankruptcy, does it kind of forever taint you in terms of your ability to do business in the market again? Maybe comment on that, because some things have changed over time, and it may not be, I use the word scarlet letter, it may not be the scarlet letter it used to be a few years back.
I think that's right, Brian. It's for some time now. I think bankruptcy is very common. Personal bankruptcies are on the rise. There's going to be, I think, a record number of filings this year for personal bankruptcies. And business bankruptcies are also common. They're a subject of a lot of news reports nowadays. I remember not long ago I had a client show me a book, sort of a self-help book, or a book about financial difficulty and solutions for people. And one of the chapters titles which he showed me was Bankruptcy is Not Leprosy. And it really is something now that people are more familiar with and deal with. Certainly, in an individual matter, whether you get credit again is up to the bank or the credit card company. For individuals, I often tell them, well, instead of getting 8 or 9 solicitations a week for a credit card, after you file bankruptcy, you might only get 3 or 4. So you get some relief in a sense. But businesses as well, certainly a business that's come out of a Chapter 11 successfully is really got a, rather than a scarlet letter, it's almost like they can display it as if it were a medal of honor and of achievement to have come through that process and be back on the road.
So, you know, we talked a lot today about, you know, going into it, the process of being in bankruptcy. Is there any kind of golden rule on how long this takes? You know, if you picture an average small business that might have to go through this and try to come out on the other side, let's talk about in a reorganization, how long of a process does this have to be before you can, you know, cleanse yourself of this?
Well, the process begins, let's say, with the filing of your court case, your bankruptcy case, and ends when you have a plan that's confirmed and that takes you out of the supervision of the court. And those times vary a lot. I sometimes say a year, give or take 6 months, because there is some time involved. And sometimes that's what the debtor, the company in bankruptcy, wants. Especially a seasonal business, will file and want to get through either their seasonal peak or their seasonal high, which could be 6 or 7 or 8 months away, and see how that goes before they start proposing a plan and coming out. Once in a while, you have what they call a prepackaged plan, where you can get in and out very quickly if you have most of the creditors lined up and agreeing, or all of them, before you file.
So in a prepackage, that's where you're going out and talking to your lender and some of those who hold the majority of or are the significant creditors, and they're the ones then that that will kind of help you arrange that prepackage?
That's right.
Okay.
All right,
yeah.
Jim. Well, our time has gone very quickly today. We appreciate it. Hopefully you've been able to get to a ball game or two this summer.
Yes, I was at the one on a week ago Sunday where they had the big comeback. That was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, Jim, it's been a pleasure. Always good to talk to you, and thanks again for joining me in studio to talk about the messy Texas Rangers bankruptcy.
Oh, yes. Well, that's still plugging along. Yeah, they're still supposedly going to get sold on August 4th at some kind of auction. So.
Yeah,
we'll be watching that one.
And hopefully you'll come back and help us sort that one out when it goes final.
I'd be happy to.
All right, there he is, Jim Rubenstein from Moss and Burnett. Brian Grogan, always great to see you sitting in for Tom Schorier today. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right,
thanks.
It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Burnett each and every Saturday at noon. Don't forget, moss-burnett.com. We have all the news and the S&S Tree Specialist Lawn and Garden Show coming up on a Saturday. News Radio 830 WCCO.